Hello, I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and you come to me for hard facts. The world keeps turning, and you're trying to keep up.
The fight against coronavirus has the Oxford.
But there's so much noise drowning out the news. Talking heads, broadcast messages, press releases. They're telling you their side, but you just want the facts. And that's why you come to me. I give you the statistics without spin.
Out of 116 million working age Nigerians, 35.5 million are employed full time. That's 30%.
I give you the context.
I give you the history.
I fight fake news with facts.
Kayode.
Let me talk.
No, Kayode, I will let you talk. Kayode, I will let you talk if you let me talk. Kayode.
That's why more and more Lagosians are tuning in. Half a million Lagosians.
720,000.
970,000. Over 1 million Lagosians. They know that if you give me your afternoon, I will give you hard facts.
Well done, Sandra, and all you do. Going beyond the headlines and focusing on the facts.
I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts.
First hard fact of the day, 154 confirmed COVID cases yesterday, triple digits again. And 119 of those were here in Lagos. So it's getting serious again. Don't let anybody deceive you. You need to protect yourself. You need to protect your loved ones. Governor Sanwo-Olu has said that only 1% of Lagosians have been vaccinated. That's our second hard fact, 1%. So that means that if you're listening to me at the moment, you have probably not gotten both shots of the vaccine. Now, if you are one of the people who have gotten only one, please follow up and get your second one. I'm still trying to find out if vaccinations are still ongoing at the health centers. But if you can confirm for me, that would be nice. And whether you are vaccinated or not, keep taking your precautions. If you don't have to go out, please don't go out. And if you do go out, wear your mask, maintain your distance from people, wash your hands, sanitize your hands as frequently as possible. That way we keep ourselves and each other safe. Third hard fact of the day, registration is still ongoing. Voter registration, that is. If you turned 18 this year, or you turned 18 last year or 2 years ago, you are old enough to vote. So go and register. It's not enough to lead protests. It's not enough to complain. It's even more important to vote. And the way to make sure that you can vote is to register to vote. Now, if your votes don't count, you will not have the representative for Lagos West voting against the independence of INEC to determine whether they can transmit results electronically. I'm talking about Senator Adeola from the APC representing Lagos West.
I vote capital no to any amendment proposed by Senator Afam Basi on the electronic transmission of voting. Thank you.
When I have the audio for the other senators representing Lagos that also voted no alongside Senator Adeola, I will be playing them for you. Electronic transmission, incidentally, is one of our stories on the Big Three today. We'll talk about the court ruling in favor. We'll talk about the Ladikbo, sorry, not Ladikbo now, the Yoruba rally, the shooting at the Yoruba rally. There's a report that came out telling us exactly what happened there. We have autopsy report about that young woman who was shot during the Yoruba rally. And then for our second story, we'll bring you updates on electronic transmission. So many things happening there. For our final story, we will talk about all the figures in Nigeria pursuing self-determination. So I'm talking about Sunday Gbogbo. I'm talking about Nnamdi Kanu. There are updates to their stories. I'll bring those your way. On today's Glass Ceiling, we'll talk some more about the idea of women as breadwinners. We started this topic 2 weeks ago. And you have more and more families where the wife makes more money than the husband, or where where the wife is the only one who's working or the only one who's working steadily. And I mean, different people have different opinions about this, right? And whether or not this works. So I want to hear your views on this. It will be a judgment-free conversation from 4 o'clock. On Balogun and Broad, I will have an energy sector lawyer, and together we'll take a look at the petroleum industry bill that has been passed now by the National Assembly. So we'll take a look at the business provisions. We'll also take a look at some of the provisions for the host communities of the pipelines that carry this oil, right? So we'll focus on the business aspect of it today at 5 o'clock on our business segment on Hard Facts, Balogun and Broad. Of course, you have headlines, business and sports updates every hour on the hour. But right now, let's get into the big three. Lagos, I'm Sandra S. Zekwesili. And these are your Hard Facts.
Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Did the police lie about how Jumoke Oyeleke died? Did the police lie about how Jumoke Oyeleke died? Did the NCC lie to the reps about the feasibility of electronic transmission? And will Sunday Igboro be extradited to Nigeria? Those are your big three. Lagos, let's talk. Our first story is the autopsy of Jumoke Oyeleke. She's the young lady who was killed during the Yoruba Nation rally in Ojota. Remember that eyewitnesses and her family claimed that she was shot, but the police at the time said that this was inaccurate, that she died from stab wounds and she died days before the rally. Now, the autopsy result is contradicting the police. The autopsy said that she died of a, quote, missile injury, end quote. That's usually the pronouncement when somebody dies of a gunshot wound where the bullet passed through the body. That's what the pronouncement is. So now a lot of Lagosians are criticizing the police for their initial comments about Jumoke's death. They're also demanding that if police officers were behind the shooting, they should be brought to justice quickly. Remember that eyewitnesses alleged that police were shooting to disperse the crowd and they allegedly hit Jumoke with a stray bullet. And that makes me want to talk about justice here for a moment. Justice and investigations. Jumoke was killed on July 3rd. It's now July 21st. It's been 18 days. Almost 3 weeks. In that time, the police has been saying that she died of a stab wound. So obviously, that means that the police have probably not been investigating to track down the shooter. So now the question becomes, how difficult has this three-week delay made any potential investigation? And then there's a question of why. Why were the police so quick to call it a stabbing if it indeed turns out to have been a shooting or some other missile injury? Was this a case of honest mistake or was this obstruction of justice? Do you believe that Jumoke will get justice? Do you believe Jumoke will get justice? What do you think about the discrepancy between the police's initial conclusion and the autopsy result? Women, call me on 01465-7190, 01465-7190. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993, 0700-993-993-993. Before we go forward, I have to correct something that I did say earlier on. I said that it was 154 cases. That's actually the number for last Wednesday. So for yesterday, it was 206. Not 156. So 206 confirmed cases yesterday. That's more than Monday's numbers. And 132 out of those 206 were here in Lagos, right? So, I mean, whether you're vaccinated or not, you have to keep taking your precautions. Huh? Okay. All right. Oh, and I should also mention that NCDC says monkeypox has reemerged in Nigeria. Monkeypox. There were originally 59 suspected cases, and 15 of them have been confirmed so far. So we have confirmations in Rivers and in Lagos. Now, while monkeypox is deadly, it can only spread by someone. It can only be spread by somebody who is already showing symptoms. It starts with flu-like symptoms, and then it develops into rashes on the face and the body. So, if you start to feel ill and you get these symptoms, Biko, just find a way and go to the nearest hospital. That's what NCDC says you should do. All right, Ayo is in Ogun State. Hi, Ayo. Good to have you on the show.
My first time of calling on your show, by the way.
I'm glad you called today. Go ahead.
Been listening and, on the issue of Jumoke, I am in pain.
Okay.
You know why?
Why?
I have a child, too. Do you understand?
Yeah.
If, because of the state of the nation, right?
Right.
My child is also going out to support in her own way. She wasn't killed by bandits, not criminals. I mean, by police. It is annoying. If tomorrow now, I go and be looking for one juju power to start to avenge this now, a lot of people will come out and start calling me by name. I'm angry. And I will be shocked. I will be surprised if Jumoke get justice, because I know she won't get it. That's the painful part of it, son. Take another call. You're doing a great job.
Ayo, thank you so much for calling. 99.3.
Hello, Sandra.
Hi, thanks for calling.
How are you?
I'm good very afternoon. Well. Good afternoon.
Me is Chinoye.
No, yeah, my name's Sake.
Hey, correct. Hey, Mama. How are you?
I'm fine. Welcome. Go ahead.
Yeah. See, Sandra, You see, you don't say that this topic, they don't bring all this topic before. You don't bring all this topic before. Police say, Nah, stab. Then they fight, they don't even fight, they get no wound dead yet, but they don't shoot.
Maybe
you know, they don't bring up this topic before. Now, you said don't then do the girl autopsy.
Yes, they do. They do autopsy. The family members do autopsy, and they see say now. Nah.
They do autopsy for Nigeria.
Yeah, they do autopsy for Nigeria now. You don't know.
Oh, Koko. They do
study.
See, now they don't do autopsy now. Autopsy, again, are gone now. Wait, what is their take? Because now, you see those devils, I say, police, no beyond. This thing, where did they talk now? Police go take come again, say the autopsy, now, they wrong again. Autopsy again, they wrong. See, the guy go need justice, they go do justice for that guy. Because you don't do justice for that guy, all murders, we go come outside, both chief. We go come outside, that only rapper, we no go agree.
Hello? Oh, I think we lost that call. That's quite unfortunate. Chooks is on the line now. Hello, Chooks. Thank you very much for calling us today from Isolo. Hi, Chooks.
Sandra, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Chooks.
Yeah. That is for you to see the country we are living in.
Okay.
The police can never say a something and the citizens believe that, yes, this is true. At the end of the day, that thing will stand as a truth.
Okay.
When this thing happened, when they are denying, every other person said, we don't trust our policemen, we don't trust them, this girl is shot. At the end of the day, now autopsy has come out and confirmed what people believed. And that's how every other person believed that the guns, they show us that they see in Sunday Boho's house around when they raided the house around 1:30 a.m., that every other person believed that gun is not from Sunday Boho, that the police planted it. Then why can our police and our force, both military, both this thing, can continue to lie? Something happened at the lake. They said nobody died. How can we live in a country that the people you call their government can never say a truth for one day? It's annoying. It's annoying. Then what are they expecting the citizens to do? If they continue to lie, they will do something and say it never happened. They never do this. It's annoying. I pray God will see us through in this nation. Take good care of yourself, Sandra.
Chooks, thank you very much for calling. Lagos, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. It's 18 minutes past 3 o'clock. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, and we start each day with three of the biggest stories of the day. Our first story is the autopsy of Jumoke Oyeleke. She's a young lady who was killed during the Yoruba Nation rally in Ojota. Eyewitnesses and her family claimed that she was shot, if you remember. But the police at that time said that she was not shot, that she died from stab wounds, and she didn't even die on the day of the rally. Now, autopsy result is contradicting the report. Autopsy said that she died of a missile injury, end quote. That's the pronouncement usually when somebody dies of a gunshot wound where the bullet passes through the body. So now that this report is out, so many questions exist. You know, for me, most importantly, it is the question of justice, because this young lady was killed on July 3rd, 3 weeks ago. In that time, police has been saying, oh, she died of a stab wound, which means they've probably not been investigating her death or trying to track down the shooter. So the question now becomes, this 3 weeks delay, has it, somehow complicated the investigation? How difficult has it made any potential investigation, Seth? Why was the police so quick to call it a stabbing? Was it an honest mistake, or was it obstruction of justice? Do you believe that Jumoke will get justice? What do you think about the discrepancy between the police's initial conclusion and the autopsy report? 01465-7190, 0700-993-993-993. We've got WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. Francis is on the line. Hi, Francis. Good to have you on the show.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome. Go ahead.
Yes. Sandra.
Yes.
I want to appreciate you for bringing up this issue again. As clearly showed, the people we all agreed the picture of this country is mesmerizing the whole thing. Police lying, the government lying. Who are we to believe them? It's quite unfortunate, but I want to thank God for the family of that young girl who did not give up. They still went ahead to do the autopsy to prove the police wrong. For the fact that their protection, trying to register our displeasure, how the country is governed, then the authority come after us. Well, Joyce, Sandra, God help us.
Thank you very much, Francis, for calling us. We've got Sandra, that the police telling lies is not a surprise, but who will stand up for Jumi? My heart is heavy with this. That's a message from Oladele Mike. Oladele, thank you very much for calling us, for sending a message to us via WhatsApp. Also on WhatsApp, David from Ogun State says, let's discuss actionable steps for the parents to get justice for Jumoke. Well, what do you suggest? That's also what this show is about. So if you've got solutions about how they can get justice for Jumoke, feel free to share with us on the show as well. Stephen Ijaniking says, Sandra, your question on if the police lied about the girl's death is strange. Are you not aware that the Nigerian police lie? Please don't injure our sensibilities any further. If not, many people will begin to attack the police again openly. Well, let's not attack anybody. There's no reason to attack the police. There's no truth from the Nigerian government, this person says. The girl was shot by the police. Well, we don't know that yet. We know the girl was shot. We don't know who did the shooting. Police should undergo psychiatric training before being enlisted into the force. Otherwise, random killing by a policeman will continue. That's a message from Joseph in Lagoa. Joseph, thank you very much. Hello, thank you for calling us.
Hello, thank you, Sandra.
Yes, welcome. What's your name?
Yeah, Mrs. Oluwasola.
Good to have you on the show.
Thank you. You remember I told you last time you brought this issue as a mother. I told you there's no way it will be easy for them to change the story. Because that very day, all camera throughout the world focus on what is going on in Ojota that day. When the guy was shot, the camera took, when the police rushed to take the child away, the camera picked the vehicle that took it away. And about few hours after, the police released the report, everybody was shocked. Why? It's to deny the justice, to obstruct the justice. And it can never happen. I think Falano is taking up the case. And all Nigeria good people should focus on him and tell him to do the right thing. Those people that are responsible for that killing should be brought to punish for that. What happened that day, there's no way police can deny it.
All right.
They must charge them and let the justice happen.
Okay.
That is where we start building our country.
Mrs. Oluwasola, thank you very much for calling. 99.3, hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name, sir?
Yeah, I'm Benjamin. I'm calling from Ikeja.
Welcome, Benjamin.
Yeah, Sandra, you see, we as the Nigerians, we have lost confidence in terms of the duties of police for a very long period of decades now.
Okay.
Because they've been found in so many issues. Whether maybe they receive bribes on the road, and at the same time they deny as the citizens when something happened. So in the case of this lady that was killed on the 3rd of July of this month, it's unfortunate that after 3 weeks, the case could not be investigated. So if you look at it, I believe that to me, there's not going to be hope in this case, because the situation where somebody that was killed for over 3 weeks now, and at the same time they undergo the medical research and they discover that it was a missile, and the police said telling us another different story. That means we have lost total confidence on police case in this country, and it's only God that is going to help us. The only thing I will advise the family of the girl is that we should just take it at it as it happens, because there is no way these people will ever agree as they have bring out their reports. That is how it's going to be.
Thank you, Benjamin, for calling. Steve O'Ferris says, tell us how much truth you've ever heard from the police on matters like this before. The colonial police, as oppressive as it was, remains far better comparably with the Nigerian police of the 21st century. I don't know if I agree with that, Steve, because we do have some police officers who are very good. I mean, I saw a report on social media 2 days ago, I think it was, of this woman whose car broke down around Aja area, and the policemen helped her find water, put the water in her car. Her car was overheating, and they helped her out, and they didn't collect any money from her, right? That's service. That's a police service. So all of them are not bad. There are some of them who behave themselves, who are good, who know their jobs. But of course, we have far too many who do not, and that's the problem. Let's take a break. We'll be right back, Lagos. You're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Don't go away. It's 3:29. You're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
This is the Big Three.
The Big Three
on Hard Facts
on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, and the House of Reps Minority Caucus says the NCC representative lied about electronic transmission. That's our second story on today's Big Three. On Friday, I told you how the NCC's Director for Technical Affairs, Obalem Saka, told the Green Chamber that half the polling units in Nigeria couldn't handle electronic transmission of results. Told you that on Friday. But on Monday, I told you how INEC's Commissioner for Information, Festus Okoye, said that this was not true. He claimed that both INEC and NCC released a report in 2018 showing readiness for electronic transmission. Now, Kingsley Chinda has weighed in. Kingsley Chinda is the minority leader of the House of Reps, representing PDP and River State. First of all, he points out that NCC's own website seems to say that network coverage nationwide is good enough for electronic transmission. NCC's own website seems to say that network coverage nationwide is good enough for electronic transmission. Chinda said, quote, NCC website even today shows that the Nigerian National Broadband Plan 2020 to 2025, page 33, says that by September 2019, the spread of 3G/LTE has reached 74.2% in Nigeria. Furthermore, MTN recently announced that they have achieved an extensive nationwide network coverage of 89.9%. This is just MTN, not to talk of other networks, end quote. Chinda didn't stop there. He points out that NCC and INEC have an MOU from 2019, which gave the go-ahead for electronic transmission specifically. He said, quote, perhaps the worst form of perfidy, deception, and outright lies is for NCC to hide the memorandum of understanding between NCC and INEC in 2019. During preparations for the 2019 general election, Mahmood Yakubu, INEC chairman, had in January 2018 visited the NCC to discuss a collaboration that would enhance the electoral process. A joint technical committee of INEC and NCC was subsequently formed with a mandate to map out strategies that would reduce human interventions in the transmission of election results. The committee was headed by Maska and co-chaired by Mohammed Lekki, an INEC national commissioner. After several meetings and engagements, it was then recommended that the INEC-NCC Joint Technical Committee should consider and adopt the traditional data communication service from MNOs using APN as the most appropriate solution for the electronic transmission of results, end quote. I just read for you verbatim what Chinda said so that you will not see Sandra added her own. By the way, APN is access point name. That's what it stands for. It's a type of computer gateway between a mobile network operator or MNO and the INEC servers. So in short, what that means is that this joint technical committee between INEC and the NCC and the telcos had already figured out the exact technical process for electronic transmission 2 years ago. And that's why Chinda is accusing Maska of lying to the reps on behalf of NCC. And is calling for his prosecution. Chinda is also faulting the APC leadership in the House of Reps for not also inviting INEC to testify. Festus Okoye has been speaking to the press because INEC was not called to speak to the reps. In this situation, only the Speaker of the House could have invited INEC, could have authorized the invitation, since it was the plenary session that was hearing the case. So Chinda said that it was wrong of Femi Wajabiamila not to invite INEC. I wonder if you agree. Meanwhile, Wajabiamila himself has spoken. He says the reason why most members voted as they did was because they were worried that network coverage may disrupt electronic transmission in their constituencies. But I want to ask you, Lagos, having heard from Festus Okoye of INEC and having heard from Kingsley Chinda quoting the 2019 Joint Technical Committee report from INEC and NCC, do you share these concerns about network coverage expressed by the predominantly APC lawmakers in the House of Reps? Do you share those concerns? Speaking of APC, I'm still trying to get a stakeholder from the state to join us on the show tomorrow. We're going to have the PDP, Lagos PDP chairman on the show with us tomorrow at 5 o'clock. We'll also have the youth party chairperson with us tomorrow on the Big Heart Fact at 5 o'clock. We're trying to talk to anybody in the APC. We've reached out to the chairman, the PRO, two other stakeholders, and they keep giving us excuses why they cannot be here. We do hope that we will be able to reach someone, at least one person from the APC, who can join us on the show. But Lagos, talk to me. What's your take on Chinda's call for the NCC technical director to be prosecuted for allegedly lying to the Green Chamber while under oath? Having heard Chinda's reference to the 2019 technical report, what's your take on electronic transmission of results? Do you still think it's not doable? Do you still think we're not ripe for it? Do you share the concerns about network coverage expressed by the predominantly APC lawmakers of the House of Reps? Because you've heard from INEC through Festus Okoye. You've heard from a minority leader as well, Kingsley Chinda, in the House of Reps. What do you think? What do you reason? Women, call me on 01465-7190, 01465-7190. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. We've got WhatsApp, 080-959-75805. Charles is in Aja. Hi, Charles.
Sandra, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Okay. I listened to the former director of Voters Education of INEC last week Friday, and he confirmed that even in 2018, they invited all the telcos, that out of the 124,000 polling units in Nigeria, only 8,000 was not covered. And those guys told them that during the election day, they will cover those 8,000, which means as of 2018, they had 92% coverage. That former director of Voters Education confirmed it. And he said he was even surprised that some of the senators in the chambers last week Thursday were aware of these facts. That they were aware, that they were duly informed, they know it, but they pretended that they did not know. Sandra, please, can you do something for us?
What do you want me to do?
Okay. Please, can you help us invite one of the senators in Lagos State for us to give them a piece of our minds?
Okay, I'll do my best, but...
Mrs. Tinubu is representing Lagos Central.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Ashiru is representing Lagos East.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Solomon Adeola is representing Lagos West.
Mm-hmm.
Let one of them come to us.
Mm.
Let's speak to one of them.
Mm.
If the three of them cannot come, good. Let at least one of them come to come and tell us whether they're actually representing us in Lagos or they are representing somebody else.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Charles, for calling. Taiwo is on the line. Hello, Taiwo. How are you? Hello, Taiwo.
Yeah, I switched off the radio.
Okay, fantastic. Welcome. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, is this Sandra?
This is Sandra. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I want to contribute.
Go ahead, please. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, the bill, the Act 52, or whether it's Section 52, if it was allowed to sail through the way it was that we all wanted, I think there'd be a lacuna, almost several of them.
Okay.
Because there's something, I've not seen any place where it is written that a paper documentation will be a backup if something fails.
Okay.
And I've heard on radio and television during the New Year celebration, Christmas celebration, that a lot of SMSs were sent. They were not delivered. People paid for it, and they were all lost on the way.
Okay.
Because when you go to the court of law, they won't see the way we have seen it. Somebody will say, what is the backup? There's no backup. We just say we transmit.
Okay.
I guess there will be a challenge, and we've seen a lot of issues. During the bomb issue at... Ikeja Cantonment, there was network congestion. And virtually all the lines went dead, all the everything sent went off. Now, within the law, where is it stated that if this happens, this is what we will fall back on? See, we don't have to be politicians. Even the man that spoke today will change when it comes tomorrow.
Okay.
And they have a lot of things on their sleeves.
Okay.
Then let's all just not face. Let them go back if they want to amend the 50, Section 52. What we did before. What are we going to fall back on if this fails?
I see. Okay.
Because somebody will go tomorrow, do something to, because we have a lot of people. It's human beings that work on these base stations.
Mm-hmm.
It's human beings that work on the switches with the network.
Mm-hmm.
You see all these things. The way it's being transmitted, the way it is. I don't even want to talk about Akas. Let's even leave that one aside.
Okay.
People climb mast, people, at least in the, don't let me mention any area, where people hoisted foreign radios and the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And transmissions was going on. And when we see our big men traveling on the road, some of them have jammers. Go to Alaba. Okay, let me even take Alaba International Market. There are some locations in Rabat International Market where you cannot make a GSM calls.
Okay.
It is not that there is no signal there. Then people block those signals. They don't allow you to go through.
Okay.
It is there at Rabat International Market. Please get your people to make a research on this. Let them just go in there.
Okay. So before my people go in to research the things you've said, let me address some of the things that you said, right?
Yeah.
Now, I'll start with paper documentation. Paper documentation as backup is usually not enshrined in law. That's usually at the bylaw level from INEC.
Okay.
So, for example, with card readers, there was no law at National Assembly level specifying that INEC should use the paper register as backup. But INEC itself created those guidelines which specified the paper backup. That's the entire point of INEC independence. INEC is trusted to make those contingency plans for itself. What the National Assembly is currently proposing is that INEC will need to get clearance from another agency and from the National Assembly. That's the problem.
Okay, Sandra, let me just come in here because you mentioned card reader. I've tried 4 card readers within the last 2 days to even buy petrol. They have same cards inside of those card readers. They didn't go through.
Those are not card readers. Those are POS machines.
So is it not the same thing they're doing? They have the chip on them. I work in the payment industry. I know all this. Yeah, I work in the payment industry. I know all this.
Okay.
And I work on transmission as well. I'm an electronics and telecoms engineer.
Okay.
I can tell you about this. Even transition, even from ATMs.
Yes, but in the...
We know what transfer in between. We know what guys can do.
Yes, but...
But in
2015, in the places where card readers failed, INEC switched to paper. INEC did that without waiting for instructions from NAS. So I think at this point, you and I are on the same page. Because what I'm saying is that it should be up to INEC, not up to NCC and the National Assembly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so all
else I'm saying is within the law, Sandra, so that the judges will not pick winners for us again from what we wanted to avoid. Somebody should say if this transmission gets lost along the way, which is doable, which is possible, what are we going to let it be in the law so that there won't be that lacuna whereby every day canary will just be jumping, then we have 1,000 law cases. Banking on it is electronic transmission, it has failed.
So you're saying that to avoid an abuse by the courts, it should be enshrined in law.
Exactly. Okay. That's what we love most in this country, and that's what we work with.
Okay.
We have lawyers who also made billions, and they have been making it based on lacunas.
Okay, well, it's an interesting point, Taiwo. I will thank you for calling and making that point with me. But Lagos, I wonder if you think that doesn't still violate INEC's independence. 0700-993-993-993. There are comments on WhatsApp, so let me take a look at this one. From Sogbere Opusunju. Sogbere says, Nigeria is ripe for electronic transmission of results. However, Honorable Kingsley Chinda should stop playing to the gallery. In 2015, his state governor, Nyesom Wike, scored more votes than the number of voters that were accredited. Yet the Supreme Court of Nigeria upheld his election. Sobere, thank you very much for your message. We've got another person here who says, it's never about e-transmission of result. Is it not either the PDP or APC that will still win the general election? Let's fight for our votes to be counted. Well, for your votes to be counted is also about electronic transmission of results. You know, it's also about that, right? Okay. Wahala for who no get Pekin in Nigeria. I don't know what you're talking about, but thank you for sending your message. Sandra, it's becoming more glaring now and crystal clear that APC symbolizes self-agenda, not a mantra of change. Nigeria voted for, they are a set of rubber stamps and arrogated entities. All right, that's a message from Olarewaju Oluwaseun from right here in Lagos. Sandra, I'm a contract telecom transmission radio frequency engineer with Huawei and Ericsson. Basically, I have visited 32 states across the country due to the nature of my job. Believe me, we still have remote areas where the network is sincerely bad, especially in the core north. We still have places where there are no 3G. Talk more of 4G. All right. You say, I love your last comment before that break where you stated that we still have some good policemen. I would love you to have a talking point where people should state times where the police have been helpful to them. I promise you that it would amaze you that some policemen are actually serving humanity. That's a message from Joshua in Ajah. Joshua, thank you very much. Ben from Ogijo says, please, it looks like we're missing the point. Politics is not about facts, but a game to achieve our goals. All right, Ben. Thank you very much for your message. Sandra, I wonder why the law guiding INEC will specify mode of transmission. Both sides are not being sincere here. I'm not sure I follow you, Mark Paul, but thank you very much for sending your message in. We've got Bayo in Egbeda on the line. We'll talk to Bayo and then we'll come to our third story. Hello, Bayo.
Good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Yeah. Okay, I'm just hard to, I think the last three callers.
Okay.
You know, talking about the senators from Lagos State concerning this electronic transmission of a thing.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
My question is that, you know, on the floor that day, I watched it. I forgot the name of this guy from Borno. State like that. I've forgotten his name.
Okay.
But you know, he made a valid point. Mm. That reasons why he was saying no to that electronic transmission was because of what one of your, I mean, the WhatsApp guys discussed, now that there are no networks or not that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, in Lagos State here, my concern anytime this issue is being raised is that, I mean, what is there? This is the question, please. Like the man said, maybe probably you can help us get any, just only one of these representatives, what's it called, senators or representatives from Lagos
okay?
On your, please, on your, this station, let us ask them questions. Because we voted for them.
Right.
Like, I'm from West, and I voted right away. Olamileko was a for House of Representatives. I've been following him, and I voted for him. This will be the third time when he was firstly picked, maybe as commissioner or whatever, in Lagos State, later to House of Rep, then later to Senator, the first year, and this is the second time. So at least he's accountable. He should be accountable to millions
to you.
Of people like myself. Okay,
now
this guy in Borno, you know, said that because there was no network, that was why. Okay, what was the reason? You understand? For this, our own in Lagos State to say no. That's the question I'm asking.
But you see, Borno is even one state. Because don't forget that NCC's website says that 74.2% of places in Nigeria have 3G, and then MTN recently announced that they've achieved an extensive nationwide coverage of 89.9%. So 89.9% leaves you around. Say maybe 10.9%, 10.1%. 74.2% leaves you about 26.8%, right? So places like Borno and all those places that don't have 3G, et cetera, they may account for the percentage that isn't covered in this report. Why?
Yes.
I think a lot of people's problem is, why are we using a one-size-fits-all instead of doing it on a case-by-case basis?
Exactly. As I'm rounding up, Sister Sandra, as I'm rounding up, you see, I haven't noted what you have just said now, okay?
Yeah.
But, you know, the first thing remains that, I mean, if there should be a way in which that, I mean, we have a lot of IT guys around, they could develop probably maybe some software that will be self-service. You understand that there could be self-service on this without necessarily going via through all this network and all that. We have trial, we have all these kind of things all along that time.
Okay.
You understand now?
Mm-hmm.
But my question is still that, what happens? I I said, Ndume, yes, I remember now, said that because there are no network,
right.
You understand? And
right.
You could recall what Boko Haram people have done for them over there.
Right.
But what happened? What happened here? Why, see, the point is that, why did they say, you understand? No. So knowing full well that, I mean, going to, from analog to electronics is like we are developing. We will not just wake up, even if it's still. I mean, somebody started this this card reading we are using before.
Yes.
So if you have never started card reading, we know a lot of flops that time. Mm-hmm. But you know, in 2019, mm-hmm. it worked better. So, Rami, why did they not just start now? My question is still that, answer that. Please help us tell them, why did Solomon said no? Why did Olurimi said, is there no network here?
Thank you, Bayo, for calling. Remember, of course, that when I was talking about that story, I mentioned that NCC and INEC have an MOU from 2019, which gave the go-ahead for electronic transmission specifically. They do. During preparations for the 2019 general election, Mahmoud Yakubu, the INEC chairman, had in January 2018 visited NCC to discuss a collaboration that would enhance the electoral process. And a joint technical committee of INEC and NCC was subsequently formed with a mandate to map out strategies that would help reduce human interventions in the transmission of election results. That committee was headed by the guy who then came to testify to the House on Friday that there was no coverage in 50% or 48% of the polling units in Nigeria. And it was co-chaired by Mohammed Lekki, who's an INEC National Commissioner. And after several meetings and engagements, it was recommended at that time that they should consider and adopt the traditional data communication service from mobile network operators using access point name as the most appropriate solution for the electronic transmission of results. So they already have technical plans in place. But hey, let's move to our final story, right? We talked about the death at the Yoruba Nation rally in our first story. For our third story, we're talking about another fallout from that rally, Sunday Boho's arrest in Benin Republic. His lawyers are fighting to stop his extradition to Nigeria. Now it's been confirmed that he is indeed in detention across the border. He and his wife were arrested at the Cotonou airport on their way to Germany, where she is reportedly a citizen. Igbo's lead counsel, Yomi Aliyu, SAN, says that his client is being subjected to inhumane treatment right now. He claims that Igbo was injured during the arrest and has been kept chained with no medical attention. And like I said, Aliyu is fighting any attempt to extradite Igbo. He said, quote, the extradition treaty of 1984 between Togo, Nigeria and Ghana and Republic of Benin excluded political fugitives. It also states that where the fugitive will not get justice because of discrimination and or undue delay in prosecution, the host country should not release the fugitive. Now, Article 20 of African Charter on Human Rights and People's Rights, to which the four countries are signatories, made agitation for self-determination a fundamental right to be protected by all countries. This made Chief Sunday Ademo a political offender who cannot be deported and or extradited by the good people of Benin Republic for any reason, end quote. Those are the words of Igbo's lawyer, Yomi. So that's the argument against his extradition. But I want to know if you think that that argument has merit. If you're a lawyer, I want to hear from you. Do you agree or disagree that Igbo is a political fugitive? Do you agree or disagree that he will not get justice in Nigeria? That's what his lawyer is asserting. And do you agree that Igbo is an agitator for self-determination? Now, this is an important point because self-determination is protected by the African Human Rights Charter, which Nigeria signed. So technically, Nigeria cannot criminalize agitation for self-determination unless it becomes violent. Now, speaking of self-determination, there's another agitator behind bars, Nnamdi Kanu. Like Igbo, he was also apprehended abroad, but unlike Igbo, we still have no official report of where he was caught, by whom, and under what legal process he was brought back to Nigeria. Now, we've heard officially from the UK government that they want answers to these questions. Remember, Kalu is a dual Nigerian and British citizen. Specifically, we heard from Tariq Ahmad. He's a junior minister in the UK Foreign Office. And he was asked by a member of parliament about Kanu's case. And Ahmad said, quote, "We are seeking clarification from the Nigerian government about the circumstances of the arrest and detention of Nnamdi Kanu," end quote. Ahmad also said the UK government has requested access to Kanu in custody and that they're also ready to offer him consular assistance. Lagos, I'll take your thoughts on this story. And all the other stories on today's Big Three after the break. You're listening to Hard Facts. Don't go away. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili.
You are listening to your number one station for talk.
Your number one station for talk.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
4 minutes to 4 o'clock. What do you think about Igbo's lawyer challenging the extradition? What do you think about the UK government asking Nigeria to explain the situation around Kanu's extradition? Now, you may be asking, waiting concern UK, why should it matter to the UK how or where Kanu was arrested? After all, Kanu was charged with a crime. He was on trial. He was granted bail. He escaped. So surely the Nigerian government should be within her rights to track him down, bring him back to complete the case, Abby. So it didn't concern UK. Well, it's not so black and white. Under international law, even a fugitive has rights. I can hear some Nigerians say, yeah, even though. But under international law, which Nigeria signed up for, there are laid down processes for bringing a fugitive back into the country. First of all, he has to be arrested by a legally authorized body in the country of arrest. Second of all, the country that wants to try him must formally request extradition. Third of all, the fugitive must be given the opportunity to contest the extradition process. So basically, the UK is asking whether this process was followed to the letter. And they're asking because Kanu is a British citizen. By virtue of that, the UK government has a duty to protect his rights globally. So that's the situation with Kanu, and I'm sure that you are seeing the similarities with Igbo, and I'm wondering whether you think there's a disconnect in these cases between what the Nigerian government believes its rights are when it comes to handling separatists and what the international community expects. I mean, are you seeing that? Because we're seeing the African Human Rights Charter saying that agitating for self-determination is not a crime. We're also seeing the UK government insisting on Nnamdi Kanu's right to due process before extradition, whether or not IPOB has been proscribed. So I want to ask you as well, do you think the Nigerian government is handling these cases in a way that lines up with the international agreements that we signed up, to? WhatsApp is 080-959-75809. Hello, how are you?
Hello, good evening.
Good evening, sorry, what's your name? Afternoon. What's your name?
Etim from Satellite Town.
Welcome, Etim.
If you have an enemy, a die-hard enemy, do you care about how he dies?
If I am a law-abiding citizen, yes.
Okay, you don't care whether he died by plane or he died by fire incident, whatever. Nnamdi Kanu has caused a problem for himself. He has entered a trap that he can never escape until he joins his ancestors. One, UK, they don't have rights over Nigerian sovereignty. Where were they when Nnamdi Kanu was dishing all this order, keep attack police, security men, kill them? Where were they? Can somebody from Nigeria or from UK came to Nigeria be ordering killing in US or in UK? See, the time has come for Nigerian African leaders or youth to disgrace ourselves from all this. They are the progress of this Africa. They don't want us to progress. They don't want to march in terms of development and growth. So they don't know when Nigerian politicians are looting our money to their country. They use it to develop their country and they give us change without the profit they make from it in the name of the return route. They don't know. Then for Tinder, they know the election that brought Wike. This was the same. It wasn't INEC. So INEC didn't have independence in 2015. When the same INEC under Jega introduced Karisa and Jonathan Apidipi, they refused to sign it into law. And when they went to court, Udom Emmanuel and Wike and Ifeanyi Okuwa of Delta State, The Supreme Court say there was no law backing electoral Carida. It was not in the House of Representatives. The election that produced the minority leader, was it free and fair? People want to hack into the all those who are voting
because elections were not free and fair, they should stay the way they currently are.
So people should come out en masse and vote and protest their vote. That is the only. And Nigeria should restructure their mindset and politicians also. Thank you very much.
Etim, thank you very much for calling. Unfortunately, it's 4 o'clock, so I have to hand you over to Vaughn. But after the news at 4, let's switch gears. Let's talk about women's rights. On today's Glass Ceiling, we'll talk about women breadwinners. It's a conversation we started 2 weeks ago. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. Don't go away, Lagos.